These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
I've really viewed every play and every game as, you know, it's kind of its own entity. I mean, football is a game of momentum, but I really think that maybe that's more within games, you know, than game to game. You just have to, you know, keep going over your details. I mean, we would walk through our 2-minute in such detail all August, and I think, you know, some of that detailed work is really paying off now too. So, you know, putting in the time, putting in the preparation, I think, you know, can oftentimes show itself in those moments.
Nice suit game there.
Yeah.
From Kirky McClutcherton, the fourth quarter Pharaoh yesterday.
You like that?
You like that?
That suit game. It looks good. Do you like that? Yeah.
Do you like how that suit tastes?
He gets them tailored, right? He's got to get a tailored suit, you think?
I think he probably just goes to Nordstrom's.
Yeah, about to say. Never mind.
Pulls one off the rack.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
He might get it tailored at Nordstrom's. Which, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
I'm a short guy.
I'm a skinny guy. I need it to be thinned up too. I completely understand the game.
I'm dropping weight, so I don't care.
Oh,
about
yeah.
You guys.
Oh, okay. Sick brag.
Oh my gosh. We have Bears vent line in tow today too. If the Vikings winning yesterday wasn't enough joy for you, how about tap dancing on the grave of an NFC North opponent? But should we just get right into it here? Vikings statements from a game that was played yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start us off here, boys.
All right.
Mackie and Judd, Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment. And here is the first statement. Kirk Cousins has probably saved Mike Zimmer's job 2 weeks in a row now. So somehow, some way, the Vikings found themselves trailing in the second half again against an inferior opponent, at least offensively, because Mike Zimmer loves to play for field goals inside the 5-yard line and never inspires his team to just throttle down on a weak opponent. And so in comes Mr. Game-winning drive to save the day. In comes the late-game luminary himself. Kirk Cousins sets the Vikings up at the end of regulation, does his job, only to be burned, just like he was in Arizona, by a missed kick. And so he says, all right, enough of this kicker crap. I'm taking matters into my own magical late game luminary hands, and he throws a dart to KJ Osborne for the win. And so Kirk Cousins, hats off for how great he's played late in games this season. And I think if the Vikings lose to the Lions, by the way, shooter Charlie Walters basically floated that in the Pioneer Press, that if the Vikings would have lost to the Lions, there's a good chance Mike Zimmer would have been fired.
He said he's week to week. He said he could be fired at any moment.
And he's not just making that up. I'm sure somebody in the organization floated that to him. So if that's the case, if Mike Zimmer's week to week, then Kirk Cousins has saved Mike Zimmer's job 2 weeks in a row. That's my first statement.
My first statement is this. So the bye week is here. There's time to take a deep breath. 3-3. It's not as good as we think it should have been, but it's certainly, after an 0-2 start, better than it could have been. And my statement is...
Okay, Toby Keith.
Is, calm down, Toby. I can't wait. I can't wait to see how this team does in the 4-game gauntlet that is going to come out of the bye against Dallas at home, Baltimore on the road, Chargers on the road, and then the Green Bay Packers at home. That 4-game stretch is going to tell us everything that we possibly need to know about Zimmer, about Kirk Cousins, about everything that this team is potentially about as far as, is this a playoff team? Is this an ascending team that could get to the playoffs and make a run? Is this a team that, you know, deserved the fact that it started 0-2? I can't wait for this stretch because it's going to define the season and it's going to give us, there's going to be no more, that was Detroit, so I'm not quite sure. Or, you know, Carolina's got a good defense, but man, that offense is awful. We are going to know exactly what the price of poker when it comes to the Vikings is coming out of the bye and the 4 immediate games that is going to tell us what this team is.
It is, like, to your point, it's really hard to know how to feel about this team after 6 games because, you know, you look at the roster and they have a legit third wide receiver now in mm-hmm. KJ Osborne, right? Like, we were unsure about that going into the season. Their defense has stepped up big time in the last 3.5 games. But then you look and it's like, all right, well, they've played Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, I don't think is very good. So those are your 3 most dominating defensive performances. 2 of them were at home. And then you're in these close games and your quarterback has to bail you out and you might have kicking problems. Like, people say, well, they could be 5-1. If this, this, and this happened, then they could be 5-1. And I say, yeah, but they could also be 1-5.
Right.
With losses to the Panthers and the Lions. So I think
correct.
If they could be 5-1 and they could be 1-5, then they probably should be 3-3, which is exactly what they are. Now they have 2 weeks to do some more self-scouting, which is what they did going into
this week. Take a long look at yourself.
And that gauntlet of opponents in Dallas, my God, like, I feel like Dallas and Minnesota are both in a similar boat in that, like, Dallas seems like they're further along, but you've got two head coaches that are like kind of 10, 15 years ago mindset head coaches that have no concept of like strategic game management or like when to go for it on fourth down. You got these great rosters that are being held back by these dinosaur head coaches. And both teams have a bye here and 2 weeks to rest up. So I'm with you. I don't really know what to make of this.
But team. you know the crucial difference between the Dallas Cowboys and the Vikings? The Cowboys have a coach who was very successful a few years back, but he's still a coach who cares the most about his quarterback. The defense is outsourced there. And so that's the one difference is this. Dak Prescott has the coach constantly by him to communicate, which is important. The Vikings, maybe not so much. So that's one key strategic difference in why it's really important to have a head coach who never outsources offense and, most importantly, the quarterback position.
All right, Declan.
All right, my first statement. It is Kirk Cousins has evolved and the rest of the team needs to do the same. If the Vikings are going to do anything this season, it's obvious it's through their offense. Like, their defense has played better. And there's components of their defense that look really strong. The defensive line's been awesome this season. But their defense will not carry them. It just won't carry them if they're going to make a run in the playoffs. Kirk Cousins right now is playing on a new level this season. You see it with his fourth quarter comebacks. You've seen it with the game-winning drives. And there just seems to be a different mantra about him. He looks pissed all the time now. Like, usually he's more of a happy-go-lucky. And I'm not trying to say he didn't have fire before. But there seems to be a new level of swagger to him. And I love to see it. And I think when you look at what Kirk has done, especially in the clutch situations, and I know Mackey sometimes likes to get all of his fourth quarter pharaoh and the late game luminary and all that stuff. And Kirk deserves credit for that. Mm-hmm. But Kirk, in my opinion, Judd, has taken that next step. And I really want to see what the Vikings can do leaning into their offense. Mike Zimmer, he still punts on fourth and short. He still has way too much trust in his defense. If the Vikings want to make a run, Kirk Cousins has taken that next step. I want to see if the Vikings around him can lift themselves up and take that next step with him.
And I don't know that he's pissed as much as now, confident. Like, the thing with Kirk is, how many times, you know, since he arrived here in 2018, have we seen a late drive, right? And like, Kirk looks sort of, I don't know, like, yeah, okay, cool, I hope it works, and then it doesn't. The guy, these past 2 weeks... And you know what? The one thing is, Carolina's not good, but their defense is. Like, that is a statistically stout defense. And for Kirk to come out there and be as certain as Kirk was, the KJ Osborne pass, I think it was the one he caught before the touchdown. I think it was a third down, where the first read was like Thielen and Jefferson, but then Osborne basically crossed Kirk's face, and Kirk made that throw, and it wasn't a perfect throw, but it was a good enough throw, and KJ Osborne made that catch. This is a different Kirk, I think, mentally, because we've always had the stretches where, like, Kirk's dauber is down, and then Kirk gets mad, which is why Kirktober takes place, right? Like, Kirktober is, oh my God, now Kirk is playing well. Here's the one thing I would not sell short with Kirk, because I think it's such a mental game with him. I would not sell short that I think that the whole vaccine controversy actually has emboldened him from the get-go to say, I will show you. Kirk needs that. And when Kirk has that, that fire starts, it's a lot more fun. And I love the fact that he now gets the ball these last 2 weeks and is like, screw it. Let's go, go, go. Not, you know, check down. Oh, no. Should we run? Timeout. What should we do? That's not the Kirk that we're seeing now, and that's a huge improvement. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I'll give you a bonus Kirk statement here off of this, and that because of course, like, the last couple of weeks when he's played well down the stretch, and he played well throughout most of the game this week. You know, you owe an apology to Kirk Cousins for all of your criticism, right? I hear that from a lot of
people. I'd like to hear one from you, actually, yes.
Well, when new information is presented and listen to me. Like,
I am.
When leading up to this season, okay,
yes,
he was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL last 4 or 5 minutes of a game when trailing. Like, when your team needs you, it's comeback time. Here's the ball. 3 minutes left. Go, go, go. Mm-hmm. He was 46th in passer rating, below a bunch of like backups who got demoted. This is since he joined the Vikings. He was 45th in yards per attempt and 56% completions, which was also bad, like outside the top 30. This year, he's been, I don't have all the rankings, but like this year, he's been the best in some of those situations, at least with the eye test. Like, he has been incredible against Cincinnati, against the Cardinals the last couple of weeks. And so, you know, you need to apologize. No, like, he's elevated himself in those situations. He's a different guy in those situations, which is what we've been calling for. Mm-hmm. And so new information is presented. He deserves to be praised. Now they're 3-3 and they have a ton of games left. And so you have to keep doing this. Like, October isn't the end of the season, but he deserves to be praised for stepping up in these situations that he has struggled in his career.
Amen. And as Patrick says, we don't control the narrative of the team or players. They do. So like, if Cousins succeeds, awesome. It's fun to watch. We'll praise him. If he doesn't, what we don't go is excuse hunting, right? Oh, man, I mean, that's not his fault. No, you're paid really well. So, yes, exactly. All right, here's my next one. The Viking self-scout that they did a week early appears to have told them to throw in the ball more and take some deep shots. Oh, my gosh. I've got my cell phone right here. Clint, Mike, you could have called me. I could have saved you the self-scout angst. We all could have gone for a surly furious and had a couple beers, and I could have said, you know what? You really should throw more. And to Declan's point, I don't think it's just leaning into Kirk. I think coming back from the bye, you lean into the whole offensive experience. Because I think what they are realizing a little bit now, excuse me as my notes just covered my camera. I think what they're realizing right now, it's gone. I took it away.
No one kills more trees than
notes.
PR departments and Judd
Zolgad. It's my notes. You know what? Because I'm an old guy.
Old man notes. Old man trying to figure out how to be on YouTube.
Yeah, well, the camera's low and I forget that, especially when I come into the studio sometimes. But the Vikings right now have, for the first time with Kirk here for sure, a third receiver option that's fantastic. Not just good, fantastic. So if you look at this offense as a whole now, lean into the entire experience. Jefferson, Thielen, Osborne, Conklin's not great, but he's not bad. He can certainly catch balls, right? Like, you have all, Cook, you have all of these weapons now. Lean into them all. And Kirk, to his credit, is doing a marvelous job of orchestrating things from the primary position.
How about this? So the Vikings came in, they came into the game with, like, I want to say they were like 20th in deep passing attempts here. In fact, I'm going to get this real quick here. So coming into this week, actually, this number is going to include everything this week too. So they are now 17th in deep passes. So here's the number. They came into the game with 15 deep pass attempts on the season through five games. They are averaging like 3 a game by deep passes.
Right.
I'm not talking about Hail Marys here, right? I'm talking about 20 yards in the air or more, which is not that much to ask for. It's just, hey, take a shot once in a while with Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen. So they came into the game with 15 deep pass attempts that traveled 20 yards or more in the air. Yesterday, 8. So yesterday they had essentially more than double their current season total going into the week. They were 4 for 8 on those throws for 108 yards, 14 yards per attempt, and the KJ Osborne one was the touchdown that won the game for you. So if that's not a lesson, and by the way, that's against one of the best pass rushing defenses in the NFL on the road. And it wasn't a train wreck. The offensive line, yeah, sometimes they didn't hold up, but You don't need a perfect offensive line to take some shots down the field when you've got those three wide receivers. And so that should be a great blueprint for how to proceed throughout the rest of the season. We're not asking to throw, you know, a deep pass on everyone, but eight of them throughout the course of a game, that's great aggressiveness.
And,
I loved it.
And a deep pass that does not hit sends a message still. Like, you can't say, well, we tried to throw deep to Jefferson and it didn't work, so bleep that. No, that actually puts defenses on their heels more. And so anything that you do that implies that you're going to attempt to have your Pro Bowl QB right now drive the ball down the field is a good idea. So the four that hit, that's fantastic. The four that didn't sent a message.
Yeah.
Keep doing
it. Amen. And we're back to Declan here.
Yep, my second statement. Piggybacking off Mackey's first one, but to a different degree to a little bit. My statement is somebody gets fired if the Vikings had lost that game. Lost that game, obviously, to the Panthers. Look at the evidence if you're Mike Zimmer. You almost lost to Dan Campbell and Matt Rhule. Dan Campbell and Matt Rhule almost stole a game from you. Jared Goff and Sam Darnold are putrid quarterbacks, and your defenses collapsed in inopportune moments. Fourth and 10 in their own territory, and you give up a big play. I'm sorry. How does that happen? Jared Goff walks back down and daggers you, and then Dan Campbell has the stones to go for two and nearly gets you fired right there. Mike Zimmer had a case to be fired there. Clint Kubiak was asked to self-scout this going into the game this week after five games because his offense was too predictable. There's too many talented players for them to be that predictable on offense, and you're looking at your OC saying, you guys got to go back to the drawing board. It's not even the bye week yet, and you have to self-scout? Rick Spielman drafts 11 players in the draft, and none of them are playing? The most draftees you had in the NFL draft, and you are playing your rookies the least. We can make a case of who was the most likely to get fired of those three, Zimmer and Kubiak and Spielman, and obviously Zimmer's the most likely one of those three to be canned if that were to happen at the bye week. But I'm saying if you lose to the Panthers on Sunday, somebody is fired today, and we're not talking about Victory Monday. We're talking about someone who got canned.
Since we're piggybacking here, that's a great little preamble into my next statement. So I'll just respond to your statement with a statement of my own here on Statement Monday. Mike Zimmer is holding a good, maybe even really good roster back this season from being better. You know, they're sitting, like, they're involved in these knife fights against the Lions at home. And this Carolina team yesterday, that was one of the most embarrassing offensive performances that I can remember in, like, the last 15 or 20 years watching the NFL. And you might say, well, yeah, but, like, the Vikings defense had something to do with that. Yeah, the Vikings defense was good yesterday. But Carolina dropped 8 passes officially, according to Pro
That's
Football
all?
Focus. They had 8 dropped passes.
Go back and watch that again. I got 10 to 11.
Well, there's probably like 2 or 3 that
poorly
are
thrown by Darnold.
Right. Yeah, maybe they were a little bit behind Robbie Anderson
that was
or something.
A gong show.
But 8 official drops is a gong show. And you're right, Judd. There's probably 2 or 3 other ones you can mix in there too. They turned the ball over 3 times. They completed 40% of their passes as a team in 2021 NFL. This is a home game. Mm-hmm. And at one point in the second half, they were averaging 3 yards per play offensively. And yet, here the Vikings are in a knife fight, somehow not up by 21 points in this game because Mike Zimmer loves to settle for field goals inside the 5-yard line. 2 of them yesterday. You know, and coming into the game, the Vikings were, you know, bottom half of the league in deep pass attempts because Mike Zimmer has to gravitate toward close and tight and conservative. And it all sort of culminated with the all-time scared coaching sequence by Zimmer. Vikings up 8, 2:30 left. They're facing a 3rd and 8 from fringe field goal range, and they have a chance the next couple of plays to just end the game. And so they hand off on 3rd and 8 instead of trusting their $35 million white-hot quarterback, and they, you know, they lose whatever it was, 3 or 4 yards. And now on 4th down, you could just attempt a 54-yard field goal and end the game. You know, maybe there's a 30 or 40% chance he makes that field goal. And Mike Zimmer thinks, yeah, but there's a 70% chance he misses it. So therefore, we need to punt because I trust my defense. Well, if you really trust your defense, kick the field goal and end the game. And if he misses, good news. You trust your defense to stop them from going 60 yards and converting a 2-point conversion. So it's like, why is this team putting up 371 yards on offense, the Vikings? Why are they so explosive down the field at times in this game, and still like trailing in the second half. It's because of situational conservative play calling and Mike Zimmer's just general propensity to coach as close as possible. Let's keep it close, right? No risks. And it drives me nuts. He's holding this team back.
All right. My next statement is pure positivity. No questioning of things. Nothing like that. The Vikings have found a left tackle. Christian Darrisaw. I don't think I noticed him once. He got, and I'm not saying he did not get beat, because he definitely did at times. But he didn't get beat much. And you know what? Rashad Hill, God bless him again, career backup. When he's asked to play left tackle, does not look the part. Like, it's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Christian Darrisaw looks the part. He is a left tackle. He is a first round pick. Yesterday, hopefully for the Vikings' sake, started a long run of this young man starting at one of the most important positions on offense, holding it down, us not talking about that being a potential weak link now. Christian Darrisaw, to me, that was a huge first step in actually, it's been addressed. You used a first-round pick. He looked the part. I think he'll be absolutely fine now. It is so important that it appears the Vikings have found a left tackle who hopefully they can plug in for 8 to 10 years, and we don't go through a Matt Khalil. We don't go through controversies. He's just a solid left tackle, and whoever the quarterback is, if it's Kirk or somebody else in the coming seasons, you have what would be expected to be the blindside protector on the offensive line, and we don't have to be concerned. And last thing, most importantly, too, for the next 5 years, relatively cheap, so there's not a salary cap problem with an incredibly important spot. Christian Darrisaw.
By the way, 53 dropbacks yesterday. Christian Darrisaw allowed one pressure. On the season, he has allowed one pressure on 69 dropbacks. So he hasn't been perfect. There's been some, you know, there's been some times where maybe he's gotten beat, but it didn't result in a pressure. But big, big upgrade over the first, 4 weeks of Rashad Hill.
In fact, if I could, because the one that he got beat on, I know it. And I want to broach this quickly with a follow-up statement. Kirk Cousins' development as a quarterback was seen on the play that Darrisaw got beat on. Because the play that he got beat on was the fourth quarter play, 2nd and 6, Vikings at their 29. It's late in the game. It's the drive that ended, unfortunately, with the Greg Joseph miss. But Kirk Cousins, the guy that beat Darrisaw, tried to strip Kirk. And the last 2 years, I contend, Kirk fumbles, all hell breaks loose, Carolina recovers, they kick a field goal, game done, you lose. Kirk Cousins not only kept the ball, he avoided the sack and gained 16 yards. And like, so if people are like, well, I mean, how is Cousins different? Because that's good. The Kirk stands are actually going to say, he's always done this. You guys just didn't appreciate it.
No, that play,
we've talked about, Phil, for years. It's the Brady play, the Rodgers play. It doesn't mean that you're the most athletic player on the field. It means that you feel pressure, protect the football, and escape. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins got 16 yards. That is a play that Kirk Cousins flat out fumbles on in 2018 or 19. And this time he didn't. He ran for 16 yards. He got a first down. That's huge.
Yeah. And you know what? It helps when it comes to risk management when you've got a great left tackle. And that's what Federated Insurance can be for your business if you're a business owner.
A great transition.
That's right. Yes. Thank you.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Federated Insurance is all about managing risk, protecting your employees, protecting your bottom line as a business, and you can find out more about all the great resources they have at federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. Before we get to our friend Randy in Cottage Grove, who I'm sure has some takes on what happened yesterday, there's not many things more hilarious than angry NFC North fans. Let's turn to Bears Vent Line, courtesy of our friends on The Score and ESPN 1000 in Chicago.
Set, go.
Man, win with class, dude. If you're a Hall of Fame quarterback and you're beating up the Bears and done it your whole life, talk to me after you win the Super Bowl. Don't tell me about your miserable failures every year in the NFC Championship. It doesn't matter. Next year he's gone anyways. He's like that. He's a selfish dude. He may own us, but he disowned his family. That's what I think about that.
Okay. That's awesome. Oh, that's but hilarious. That guy is completely hammered. And his kids in the background.
Yeah.
Who's watching? Right, I hope mom's there.
God,
dude, it's so. Aaron turned to a group of Bears fans after scoring a touchdown and just said, "I've bleeping owned you my whole life. I still own you.
I love it."
He it well. In his defense, he was being flipped off, so he was getting the double bird. He saw it and did that, which, by the way, is awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
Great, dude. Yeah.
Let's hear from more. Double bird. We got Aaron here.
Matt Nagy's got to go, man. Matt Nagy is not an NFL head coach. I mean, his game plan gets schemed out so bad by the defense. You know, they got off on the first 15 plays the last few games. You know, they scored a touchdown, but then it's like three quarters of misery. I mean, you're just watching this guy trying to – he doesn't know what to do.
Okay, so – I'm not going to stand up here and defend Matt Nagy because I don't think he's a great NFL head coach, but I would love to see, was that Aaron in Berwyn, Declan,
yes,
that we just played?
Correct.
I'd love to see Aaron in Berwyn, like in a room, a football debate with Matt Nagy, just explaining like, okay, how is it that Matt Nagy's scheme gets out schemed by opposing defenses? Please explain Aaron in Berwyn. Oh, man. How about Dan and DeKalb? Oh, that we already played Dan and DeKalb. What about Steve?
Yeah, we'll go Steve in Chicago.
The writing's on the wall. You know, Matt Nagy has to be gone at the end of the year, even if the Bears go to the playoffs, miraculously. But I think after today's game, I think this is who the Bears are, a mediocre team. Can beat mediocre teams, but just doesn't have enough horses to compete offensively against Green Bay and next week against Tampa Bay.
The Bears. Even if the Bears. It's hilarious. Yes, Bears bet line here. A Vikings win and a devastating Bears loss all in one, although the Packers won. So, all right, we'll get bonus statements. We got more to say about that and also other things that happened around Minnesota sports, but let's get to our guy Randy in Cottage Grove here. I'm Mackie and Judd.
You know, I was watching the protection, to be honest with you, just trying to see if we're, you know, holding up against those guys if they were blitzing. But it was a great throw and a great catch by KJ. And honestly, the catch he made before that, I thought that was maybe even better. But he's been, you know, he's been a guy in Arizona, made a couple big plays. You know, I think maybe last week in some of the deals. So when the game's been on the line, he's produced.
By the way, I think the Vikings have three receivers on pace for 1,000 yards. A lot of background noise there. Randy in Cottage Grove, what's going on there, buddy?
I'm just outside enjoying some fresh air.
All right. It sounds like a tornado is blowing through your neighborhood or wherever. Well, you are.
You know, I'm outside just helping clean up. Make the world look a little better, a little less litter.
Wait! I got a question off that. Is this on your own, or is this some type of program that mandates you help clean things up?
It's me and some buddies, some fellas that all do this at a scheduled time, a couple of times a month.
Are you wearing a bright coat of sorts from the state?
There's a lot of different ways you can go about making amends, as they say, and this is one of the ways you can get your good name back.
All right, well we're not here to judge, even though we are, so good luck with that. Just steer clear of the busy traffic.
All I gotta say is pay the parking tickets if you get them.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
It's very important.
All right.
Glad you're public service.
It's good life advice for everybody. Well, thank you for taking some time away from your community whatever you're doing out there.
I'll start on the other end of the street when I get done to this
Randy.
End of this end.
Randy.
You're on.
Randy, we're live here, buddy.
Yeah, okay. I got a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, what did you think? Vikings big road victory yesterday? Carolina?
It's a signature win again. for the second week in a row, and this one was a road one, as you said. And they're starting to rack them up. That's two in a row. And
I'm not sure if I would call the Lions a signature win. I mean, you can maybe call yesterday.
Anytime you win on the road in the NFL against a high-powered offense and a pretty stout defense, too, those Panthers guys are flying around. That's a good win. It's a good W, a signature win so far this year for sure.
Yeah, so let's get it. Stud Stable. Let's do
Judd
it.
Judd has no time for your Vikings optimism right now.
Well, no, he's busy. He's got to pick stuff up. I don't want him to get in trouble with his supervisor.
This is Randy in Cottage Grove's Week 6 Vikings Stud Stable. Go get it. All right.
We're going to have to do this one Stud Stable by the side of Highway 61 here between Hastings and Cottage Grove.
Nice.
I hope your parole officer
We're still excited about it.
Be careful. It's a busy highway.
The number one stud of the week is the super stud, of course.
Oh.
And he's coming up in a little bit. But first, let's start things off with a guy who absolutely came to play yesterday. And that's Alexander Mattison.
What?
Alexander, you are really starting to make a lot of people wonder if we should have given Delvin all that scratch. You keep doing this like you're doing it, Delvin? You might be finding yourself on the old trading block because Alexander Mattison is a stud.
Did he play?
Right. No, he played. Alexander Mattison had 3 carries for 10 yards.
Oh.
The way he ran the rock yesterday was purposeful. It had a lot of intent behind it. And I like the way he's ready to go.
Did you watch the game?
Season, he's not going to get hurt like Delvin. Coming up next is Tyler Conklin. Tyler,
right.
Your flow is unmatched on the squad. The only thing that I think, Tyler, that you're going to really want to work on down the stretch is a little bit of a signature move after a first down catch.
I agree.
A little bit of a swagger. Kind of pull the hips from side to side and give it a bit of a thrust. That's a big way to say first down.
I'm with Randy on that one. I don't know about the Alex
Does he need an Elvis Presley move?
Over on the defense, there's a lot of guys who I think deserve a real big shout-out. But perhaps none bigger, in my opinion, than the guy we brought back from the brink of NFL disaster. Everson Griffin. Everson, you eat quarterbacks for lunch. And yesterday, you were really looking hungry. I like the way you push through the line and the way you look in the camera with a little extra smile after a big throwdown. Everson, you're a stud.
He is charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he had Everson a sack yesterday, but we'll move on.
And finally, here's a guy who I was sour on. I was sour on early in the year, but he's led a whole lot of comebacks. It isn't his fault there was a fumble. And a bad Joseph once. He's led a whole lot of comebacks almost every week. What more can you ask out of this guy? And he's the captain of the ship. And if they let him loose and unchain him, we're gonna rattle off a few more of these wins. So not just a stud, but this week, Kirk Cousins, you're a super stud.
Wow, super stud, dude.
Super stud. Oh,
Randy
is I think his PO might have gotten him.
Yeah, he was supposed. I mean, he's working for the state. We're fortunate he called.
I had
all.
Questions. I mean,
well, I've got
I'm a big
one
Alexander
question.
Mattison guy, but me like too. Dalvin Cook had 29 carries for a buck 40 and a touchdown in that game.
And Ev had no sacks. I wonder how much of that game he watched.
Is it possible he was maybe
so
hanging out with his buddies on the side of 61 yesterday too?
Well, my theory at times is he gets so drunk during games that he sort of just blacks out and the next day just basically makes up what he thinks he saw.
That's very possible. That's very possible. I've done that in my day watching Gopher football, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's forgivable. But
old Macadac back in the Glenn
That's
Mason
forgivable.
Days.
That's called self-preservation.
That Michigan game in 2003. I was there physically. Oh.
You're dead inside after that. Your Gopher football fandom dead inside.
Hey, how about some bonus statements here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I got some.
I know Declan has a non-Vikings one that
I
maybe
do.
We should just get to. In fact, this one's going to be sponsored by our friends at the Minnesota Wild. All right. We are giving away Minnesota Wild tickets to the October 24th game against the Predators. All you have to do is open the Score North app, if you don't already have it, download it, register, and enter to win. We'll pick a winner on October 21st. And if you are a college student, discounts are back this season for College Night at the X, and Wild tickets start at just $39. There's a few games to choose from each month, and you can find out more at wild.com/theme packs. All right, Declan, continue carrying the torch for statements here.
Weekend statement is referees are trash and don't tell me how to react. That's my statement here. Referees are trash and don't tell me how to react. I went to 3M at Mariucci Arena on Friday night. Gophers and Huskies, go St. Cloud State. Proud alumni here. St. Cloud gets a big win in Minneapolis. I'm fired up. I'm excited. Series goes back up north to St. Cloud at the Herb Brooks National Hockey Center. St. Cloud looking for a sweep. It's overtime. And maybe one of the most egregious plays, and I'll play it here for our video audience, and I believe this is Jim Rich and Pat Micheletti on the call. And for our YouTube audience, you'll see one of the most absurd non-calls I think you'll ever see in hockey.
I'm so disappointed.
Oh, he pulled it. Yeah, he grabbed him right here.
I mean, he's right there. It's right in front of him.
This one's going to be talked about for a while.
That is, I'm sorry. I know refereeing is not, it's not an easy job. They do a great job. That is atrocious.
So, for our audio audience, Blake McLaughlin of the Gophers clearly hooks the St. Cloud player. In fact, even drags him to the ground.
Yeah, perfect.
That's what you saw.
And looks back at the referee like, oh, I'm caught dead-handed. No call. He skates a circle around. And yes, the St. Cloud player should have not given up on the play. You'll play to the whistle. I'll tell you right now, that's going to be stamped on every peewee hockey team for the rest of eternity because he didn't play for the whistle. And that's not a dive. That's not a dive. Gopher fans, you are insane to say that's a dive. And St. Cloud fans get pissed. Rightfully so. They start throwing crap on the ice. That is an egregious call. When the league, the NCHC, has to come out and put a press release that says that should have been called a penalty, that says everything you need to know.
We're a Big Ten team. Okay.
All right. Play it again. Let me give you, so that's a St. Cloud perspective, okay? Let's get the Gopher perspective.
Yep.
As a guy who went
Phil?
To every Gopher hockey home game
dude.
For 4 years between 2003 and 2007, okay? I saw, you know, they don't have great skate sharpeners up there in St. Cloud. They don't have the resources in St. Cloud that they do here in the Twin Cities. And so, you know, I saw a guy who lost an edge, and I saw a Gophers player looking back saying, oh, it's not really fair that St. Cloud player lost an edge. I'm going to slow up, let him catch back up to me, and then we'll continue the play. Let's watch it again through that prism. Clearly,
I'm so disappointed.
Oh, he pulled. Yeah, he grabbed him right here.
I mean, it's right there. It's right in front of him. I'm so disappointed.
Oh, he pulls him down.
He also starts to argue with the official.
I'd go back to Play It Again Sports or wherever he got those skates sharpened.
Get him sharpened up again.
Demand a $5 refund. I mean, that is just at that stage in the game for you to lose an edge like that and slip. I mean, what bad luck for St. Cloud State. Mm.
God almighty. It made me insane. Made me absolutely insane. And I like St. Cloud, okay? I'm an alumni. I'm proud to have went to the St. Cloud State University. Everyone rags on St. Cloud State. It's the party school. It's everyone's favorite safety school. Yet here I am in the same industry with you people who have a bajillion more dollars in debt from Mizzou and the U of M and wherever else. But here I am doing the same thing you're doing. But yeah, go Huskies. Referees, you're trash. You're absolutely
trash. It's your referees. That's the best thing. They're the referees from your conference who screwed you against a Big Ten team.
Wait. Did you just do it? You just did a drive-by. Declan's doing a drive-by. And
he took out
it
Mizzou.
Looks like he hit Mizzou.
Scoggins went
there,
too.
Northwestern. He might have hit Syracuse Journalism School.
Yeah, take that, Mike Tirico. Bleep you, Mike Tirico.
Fordham University has nothing on St. Cloud
Screw
State,
you, Bob
right?
Costas. Yeah. The referees suck.
Yeah, Tony Reale.
It's the NCHC.
No,
it's your league that screwed your team playing a Big Ten team. God. Explain that one to me.
It is hilarious, though, like when the Gophers player, not only like he knows instantly that he committed a penalty and he like turns back to argue with the official about a call that wasn't made.
You know,
it's and then he's like, I guess I'll just keep skating here. Let's score the game winning goal real quick.
The incredible.
He started bitching at the official for a call.
Yes,
that wasn't
he started
even
to
made.
Argue a call that was not being made. But here's the most egregious thing is the official had a bailout. You call the hold. You call embellishment, you send them both off, and you stop the game. So, like, there's a bailout call, which I hate, but it exists. And instead of...
If it's a hold, why, I mean, this is a whole other discipline, but, like, if it's a hold or a hook or whatever...
Yeah, he grabbed his jersey.
Then why would it also be embellishment? Who cares if it's embellishment?
Because that's the rule.
You're getting accosted.
I agree with you completely, but that's the rule. The rule is if I try and sell a penalty, I can be called even though it's still a penalty. It makes no sense, but it's the bailout. And they had it. They could have just stopped the game, sent both guys off. They would have gotten yelled at, but okay. But instead, he just lets it go like, I don't see anything. And poor Jim Rich and Micheletti and Mark Parrish went apoplectic. It was a great call. It was
so those guys. Wait, were those guys calling the game on behalf of St. Cloud State?
Yes. No,
well, yeah. So it's through Fox, and the St. Cloud State TV student production team puts together the game. So they're running the broadcast for it at St. Cloud.
Those kids do a nice job, I think.
They do a very good job.
Like, that's a tough job.
It is. It is better than some local.
Oh boy.
I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna take too many drives.
Yeah, Alex Faust is the best play-by-play guy in hockey history. A guy that won't watch BSN. I told you they're really improving.
All right, back over to Judd here. Bonus statements.
All right, bonus statement from me is this: Marcus Foligno is now, without a doubt, the heart and soul of your Minnesota Wild. Marcus Foligno, so he was that guy, I think, to a large degree last year, but Suter's gone, Parisi's gone. This is, Jarrett Spurgeon's captain, but Marcus Foligno runs this team, and he does it in a way that is a breath of fresh air. He doesn't complain. He's not the greatest player, but he's a good player, and he shows up every night. Like we talk about, you know, all that culture thing, right? I'm sick of culture. Who cares about culture? Well, in sports, culture is important. And Marcus Foligno has established a culture that holds players accountable. Imagine that with a Wild. Players are accountable. And he also has established a culture that basically makes everybody on the team important. And then most importantly, he comes to play every single night, every shift. This is how you win. I'm not guaranteeing a thing, but I am saying after watching the BS that we've seen, what, Dex, the last, you know, six or 7 years previous, more so to last season, this is how you win in hockey, especially.
Yeah, I mean, he has an unquantifiable non-box score tendency with him that is very important to this team's culture and their just mantra going forward. I got ratioed because I said his statistics are going to come down because last year he played out of his mind offensively, and he's just not a player who can be a 55-point person, which is what he was on pace for last year. So regression was going to come to his game offensively. Doesn't mean he's still going to be a detriment to this team. He's a very, very important player to this team.
Yeah. The Wild are coming, boys.
Yes, they are.
So you've got leadership on the ice in the room. You've got this.
Listen, you guys know what this is all about, right? Right? What's it all about? Spurgey?
Hard work and having fun.
F*** that. This is about f***ing winning.
God, dude, I love it. How do you not love this team right now?
I checked.
Oh, my God.
I checked, and I was told that was spontaneous and not arranged at all. That was
which
complete.
Part? The Spurgeon part?
Jared's response is really what he said.
Wait, he wasn't joking?
He wasn't kidding. That was a serious exchange. So what Jared said... It's about hard work and having fun was his true response. It wasn't arranged so that Billy could say that. Bill asked the question legitimately, pointed to Spurgeon.
Spurgeon?
Spurgeon said what Spurgeon said and that entire exchange was spontaneous.
I know that. I'm saying, did Spurgeon say it? Was Spurgeon saying it because he thought that that's what the goal was? Or was Spurgeon being, I think Spurgeon was being tongue-in-cheek. Because he had a little cheeky grin when he said, hard work and having fun.
I thought
fun.
So, too. I was told it was all pure.
Interesting.
Because
that would make me think twice about Spurgeon as a leader. Like, you hear about hard work and having fun.
Think about here to win. But think about, like, this team previously. It's been about complaining. It's been about, can I have fun? Like, he's a great player who has been brought up in a toxic household. Like, he's finally out. They've all escaped. They've all gotten away from 20. They've all gotten away from 11. Like, it took some time, man. They're scarred. They're scarred.
I got one more bonus statement here for you guys, and I'm sort of back interested in the Gophers. I think my statement is this. Imagine if they hadn't lost to Bowling freaking Green 3 weeks ago. So they come back, they win on the road at Purdue, which, by the way, went into Iowa and beat the number two team in the nation. Iowa wasn't really the second best team in the country. They were frauds on that level.
It is
kind of fun to see, like, when, you know, it's, I'm in a glass house as a Gopher fan. Like, I can't really chide Iowa and Wisconsin until the Gophers are more, like, repeatably great. But Iowa was never the second best team in the country. I think they're probably one of the 15 best teams in the country. But the Gophers, two straight conference wins. They tried hard to lose that game on Saturday, but we'll look past that for now.
Very Vikings-like.
Now you get a home game against Maryland this upcoming weekend, in which you're currently 5-point favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Northwestern on the road, so a little bit tougher on the road the week after that. But Northwestern lost to Nebraska 56-7.
Northwestern's
a couple weeks ago.
Awful. They've got nobody. Yes.
And
beat
then
them.
Illinois at home should be another win. And so, God, like, we kind of lined it up. After they beat Colorado 30-0, you're looking at the schedule and you're like, I mean, they should rattle off like six straight wins into that Iowa game on November 13th. They could still rattle off five, but that Bowling Green game is going to stare you in the face. So I think what I'm hoping for now is, can you win your next three and set up a seven? And your record will be 7-2 against whatever Iowa's record would be in that spot. And you still have a chance to win your division. But I don't know that Tanner Morgan can be the guy that carries you there. I'm just kind of wondering what some of the other options might be.
That late game meltdown was odd, right? Like the two, I think it was back-to-back positions. Weird. He threw picks, and it's
he's not very good. Yeah,
but what happened?
He's not very good.
Yeah, I don't think he's that great.
Okay, but
hell of a dude.
He's not mobile. You need a mobile dude too. Like, if you like, why do you have a mediocre pocket passer that can't run in 2021? Like, at least give me a guy that can run for 100 yards. And, you know, make big plays improvisationally.
But 2 years ago, it felt like he didn't make these type of dumb mistakes. Like, he's got a skill set. It's not great, but he's got a skill set.
He also had Rashad Bateman.
Chris Amendola's a really good player, and he's got guys to throw the ball to. Although this was proved, anybody, and I mean this, almost anybody can be the running back for this team. Mm-hmm. Like, we're so obsessed with, oh, my God. This guy's out. What's going to happen to the run game? Well, they're going to find the next guy on the depth chart, and he's going to run for 130.
Yeah, yeah. They need a quarterback who can just be like, if you have a, if you're Alabama, you can have a game manager quarterback because you've got NFL wide receivers, NFL offensive linemen, right? Yep. Like Mac Jones is kind of a game manager, quarterback.
Yep.
If you're the Gophers and you're not getting, like, they're getting some 4-star guys, but you need a dynamic player that can elevate guys around him, and Tanner Morgan doesn't do that. So, all right, boys, that's a wrap on Mackie and Judd here today. Tomorrow, we'll get you who gets it and who doesn't. And Purple Daily, don't forget, Vikings vent line yesterday was hot. It's already on pace to be one of our, if not the most consumed Vikings vent line of all time, just based on the way that game ended. So check that out on the Purple Daily podcast feed on demand. And if you're watching us on the Score North YouTube channel, thank you. Click subscribe and the like button and spread the word about Score North and Mackie and Judd to a few of your fellow Minnesota sports-loving masochistic friends. See you guys tomorrow.